The story you'll hear next on Gospel of Life may come closer to home than you realize. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to the program. We're joined by Janet Morena, our Associate Director. And today we're going to see an inspiring story of someone who had an unexpected blessing.
That's right. And, you know, that's really the perfect phrase as, you know, pro-life people, people of life, to say that, you know, it's an unplanned pregnancy, as some phrases people use, or a crisis pregnancy. But unexpected blessing really states it, because if you truly believe that every child is a gift from God, then how the life came about is not the focus, but the focus is the child itself. And we had recently interviewed a young lady who had quite a crisis situation, but how she dealt with it and how her faith in the Lord helped bring her through that to say yes to life is quite inspiring, because this could happen to anybody on their college campus. So her name is Kathleen Fitzpatrick, and let's take a look right now at our interview with Kathleen.
Well, my story, this chapter of my life really begins the sophomore year of my college experience, which was in 2006. The actual date that really marks this change was on January 24th, 2006, which was my sophomore year when I found out that I was pregnant. And a couple months prior to that, right before Christmas break, a bunch of girlfriends and I went down to this house at the beach where my college was, that was pretty much notorious for having parties, and we were pretty much frequenting those parties and a part of that college scene and everything that entailed. And so we were down there one night for a party before break, and as the night progressed, so did the drinking, and I ended up getting way too drunk. I ended up staying there, woke up the next morning, really having very little idea of what possibly could have transpired the night before, having some inclination that, you know, I ended up having slept with somebody, but I didn't know for sure. And I think that's a common situation on college campuses, which I'm coming to see more and more, especially having been a part of it. So anyway, I go home for college break, for Christmas break, actually, and I'd missed my period. And a month had gone by, and I said, oh, that's weird. I don't usually do that. And thinking, you know, it's stress, it was finals, you know, coming home, I don't know, just anything to basically convince yourself that it couldn't really be a reality of thinking of what it could be. So spent Christmas break at home, then I went back to school for the spring semester, and now it had been 2 months, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't remember having slept with anybody, but I don't know, and why don't I just assuage my fears? I'll go to the health center at my school, I'll bring my roommate with me, and I'll just confirm that I'm definitely not pregnant, and then that way maybe I won't be stressed out about it, and everything will be back to normal. So my roommate comes with me, and we just casually walked in. I said, I'm here for a pregnancy test, and she kind of looked at me. She said, oh, come on in over here. Obviously, it wasn't the first time. She'd heard somebody come in there for that. And I sat. I took the pregnancy test, and then she had ushered me into another room where I waited for the doctor and the visiting doctor to come and talk to me. And before they had kind of released any kind of information or news, they asked, you know, had you thought or given any thought as to what you would do if you did find yourself pregnant? And I said, I would keep the baby. And it just kind of jumped out of my mouth, you know, my conviction at that moment. I was kind of even surprised myself, thinking, oh, maybe it's because I don't think I actually am pregnant that I was able to say that so easily. But anyway, they ended up coming back into the room, and she said, your test is positive, and you are pregnant. And in that moment, the only way I can really describe it is it's an out-of-body experience when you don't even think something could even be a possibility. And not only is it a reality, but now you are on the spot having to make a decision in that moment about it. It was like I was watching this all unfold, but it wasn't really my story that I was in. And so she had said, now you had said that you would keep the baby. Now, have you really thought about that all the way through and what that means, Kathleen? I mean, you are only 20 years old and you still have 2.5 years left of your college experience. I mean, do you know the statistics of girls that get pregnant in college and don't finish and they end up, you know, under the poverty line and all these things she's rattling off. And I just remember in that moment being so vulnerable and susceptible to any kind of influence. And yet there was this overwhelming conviction to stop her. Just stop it. I am so vulnerable right now. And for you to be influencing me into having an abortion when I've already made a reference to the fact that I'm willing to go through with this, I can't handle that right now. And I think in that moment she realized that there really wasn't anything left she could offer me. And in that moment, I'm sure she would have been willing to take me for an abortion. But since it didn't seem like that's something I wanted, she kind of, you know, ushered me down the hallway and, you know, see you later. And there you go on your way into the therapist's office, who's right adjacent to the health center. And so she sat down, well, Kathleen, you know, how are you? How do you think your parents would handle this? And I had just found out I was pregnant. And there was no one I wanted to be with more than my parents. And yet at the same time, the last place I wanted to go was home. So I was really all alone for the first time in this journey. And so we had talked a little bit about some particulars. To be honest, I don't even remember what we talked about because it was such a foggy place. And so I had left her. I met up with my roommate back in the waiting room, and she knew in that moment, just looking at my face, oh, my gosh, she found out she's pregnant. And now she's the friend of somebody who found out she's pregnant. What's her role in all this? So we drove down the street and went to the diner. Where else do you hide except for off campus because you don't want to really be seen? And I think we just rattled around a bunch of things, and she was so supportive of it the whole way through. And I think it was because there was this overwhelming conviction on my part of what it was I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to go about telling my parents. I had no idea how I would tell my sisters and my brother or my family at large and my life. And I didn't know the particulars. All I knew was that was the decision that was made. So that night, it was a Wednesday night, and typically Wednesday nights at school were a big party night. And it was also the night of the week that they had 10 o'clock mass at my school. So we didn't usually frequent that mass, but this particular night we did. And I'm so glad we did, because when I sat there and I just was 2 months pregnant and I'm sitting there praying to God and just asking him to be with me and comfort me and offer me some sort of consolation in that everything was going to be okay. And I just kind of remember turning my life over to him in that moment and just saying, Lord, please, if I'm going to go through with this and if I'm really going to do this, then just do not ever leave my side. And in that moment, there was this peace that surpasses all understanding that literally enveloped my whole body to the point where I could never deny it. And that peace was what gave me the courage to come home, regardless of the reaction, regardless of being thrown out of my house and disowned from my family. I mean, you don't know what to expect. I think that's the biggest thing, is the fear of what's going to happen to you. And what are your parents going to say? And that's a very real fear. But that peace that no matter what, even if I were all alone, just with this little baby, that God promised to me in my heart that he would always be there. And he would guide me through every step of the way. That really is what gave me the courage to come home. So I called my sisters first, and we did a three-way. I'll never forget that conversation and the two different, totally different reactions. And that was the following day. And so then my sisters called my brother. And my brother ended up driving up to my school that night, and he spent the night just kind of consoling me as my brother and not asking questions, just being with me. And I think that was such an amazing support to know that not only was I coming home with this news, but I had the support of family already in this process. It really helped. And so we ended up coming home. My sister came and picked me up. I came home that Friday, and I just remember walking in the door. My parents thought we were coming home for the weekend, all the kids back together and a great weekend. And I remember walking upstairs the minute I got home, because I just couldn't bear being in front of my parents with knowing this and them not knowing it. And yet I couldn't bring myself, I couldn't figure out how it was I was actually going to verbally say, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. Those words, it couldn't come out of my mouth. I went upstairs to my room and I just was saying, Lord, please be with me. Promise that you'd be with me. And I know, I trust that you're with me. And yet I can't get, I can't shake this fear, even though I'm here and I've chosen life. I don't know how to shake it, of actually telling them. And so I was about to walk down the stairs and my one sister, Mary, she stopped me on the stairs and I just was crying. I said, Mary, I don't know how to say it. I just don't know how to do it. I just don't know what to do. And she said, Kathleen, stop. And this was so comforting, and this I'll never forget. And she just said, stop and think about how it is you're feeling at this moment. What are you feeling? And I said, I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling like a cheater. I'm feeling like I can't be myself around Mom and Dad right now. And she said, okay, in about 5 minutes, all of those feelings are going to be gone. And you're going to be in sole truth in front of Mom and Dad. And you're just going to be freed from this secret. If you had chosen an abortion, Kathleen, you may be feeling that way in front of Mom and Dad for the rest of your life. And I was like, wow, you know, that was so affirming. And so we walked down the stairs, and my older sister, Annie, she said, you know, before we have dinner, we'd like to have a family meeting. And so I sat down on the couch, and my mom came and sat down next to me, and my dad sat down in the chair, and I just started crying. And my mom looked at me, and she said, you're pregnant. And I never even said it. The words never even came out of my mouth. And I said, yeah. And I think for about a good 20 minutes, we just all cried, the whole family. And we just cried. And it was really beautiful, especially because when you're thinking about coming home and how am I going to tell my parents, you don't expect for it to just be so beautiful. I mean, it was hard and it was painful, and the journey that transpired as a result has been quite a journey of ups and downs. But in the moment and in the initial response, and it was completely not how I had expected it, and not how most girls who find themselves in that situation, it wasn't how they anticipate it may be. So when you make decisions for how people are going to react to your news, you don't give them the opportunity to react in the way that God's graces are going to fill through them in the moment. And I think that God knew that whatever was going to be the first thing that came out of my parents' mouth was something that was going to resonate within me forever. And it was nothing. And I think that was powerful because it was just this breathtaking moment of, we have to just be here for each other and we'll figure out the rest as it comes. And God will lead us on the rest of the journey. But for right now and for in this moment, how it is real, is painful, but we have each other and we'll get through it. And that was my experience coming home.
Well, that truly is an inspiring example of how the battle over abortion is fought within the hearts and minds of so many people just like Kathleen and the members of her family. We'll be back with more about this story and the lessons we learned from it after this break.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, friends, we're talking today with our executive director, Janet Marana, and we're talking about Kathleen Fitzpatrick and her parents. And that was an inspiring interview. I kept thinking as I saw Kathleen tell her story about what happened to her and how she chose life, I kept thinking about the different roles that different people play in that story, which is so repeated so often. For example, the role of the friend.
Right. story.
You know, there was a friend she was able to rely on. They went to a diner. They talked it through. Just like friends don't let friends drive drunk, friends don't let friends get abortions.
That's right. And her friend really was supportive. You know, I remember Kathleen saying, oh, when I first came back out of the doctor's office, my friend was waiting in the waiting room, and she looked at me, and by the look on my face, her friend knew her well enough to say, uh-oh, she's pregnant. But instead of saying, oh, well, yeah, I guess you have to have an abortion, no, this friend said, let's get off of campus, let's get away from everybody, and let's talk this through together. And she was very supportive. So Kathleen was very lucky to have that. But if you notice, Father, the temptation there, at the clinic, the first thing they were saying to her was, well, what are you going to do about this? Like, you know, and she was saying, she blurted out, keep the baby, you know, have the baby. Yeah. It was her gut instinct reaction. But right away, they started backing off and saying, well, what about school? They took her from the doctor down to, like, the school counselor. And here the counselor was kind of pressuring her, well, what about school? You're only in your sophomore year. What's going to happen?
It's interesting how she described it. It wasn't like they weren't helping her at that point.
No.
She said that was too much to take. And the mentality of the world, it's the opposite. Oh, well, being pregnant is too much to take. For Kathleen, it was like, stop pressuring me.
Right.
And this, again, is a question of roles. Very often, it's the medical profession, medical associates, nurses, counselors, who are the ones pushing abortion. They're often the abortion industry's best friend, not the best friend of that young woman sitting in front of them.
Right. And if you remember, Kathleen said that finding out she was pregnant was like an out-of-body experience. Like, she was barely contemplating and thinking, like, what am I hearing right now? And like you said, she's vulnerable, and they're applying this pressure on her.
A person like that does not need people pushing them at that moment. She needs people listening to them. And that's the role that her friend, her siblings, and her parents played very well in a way that was affirming for her life and the life of her child.
Well, and next week on Gospel Life, we'll get to see the second part of this story, you know, when we get to hear it from the parents' side.
That's also very inspiring. Well, friends, stories like this are happening every day with all kinds of different outcomes. And you and each one of us can be called upon at any moment to be the person who plays the role of either encouraging the choice of life or encouraging the descent to the destructive path of abortion. Let's be ready, because at any moment, that question is placed before us in the face of a friend, a neighbor, a colleague. Will you choose life or not? Let's be strong and ready to say yes to life and to help others to do the same. When we come back, we will have our action segment where we talk about different things you can do to advance the culture of life. So please be sure not to miss that. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Gospel of Life.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. If you enjoy watching these Gospel of Life programs, you'll really love what's on this DVD that I have in my hand. You can receive it every month, powerful pro-life information from our friends at Life Dynamics, where we tape these programs. It's called Life Talk, approximately an hour worth of information-packed pro-life, up-to-date interviews, news, and resources. Janet, this is really something that, you know, has been out for years, and more pro-life people need to know about this.
That's right. Well, first of all, it's very easy to watch. There's different segments, you know, during the hour long. So, for example, you might say, well, I don't have time to sit and watch for a whole hour a particular program. Well, it's divided into, like you just said, Father, a news segment, which tells you the pro-life news going on that month in the country. Then there's what's called Pro-Life 101, and that's where Mark Crutcher, the founder of Life Talk and Life Dynamics, gives you some basic pro-life arguments, things that you need to help discuss this issue with your friends and family. Then, of course, there's current events, like I said, which is kind of like news. And then, of course, we ourselves at Gospel of Life have our own 12-minute segment that they view each month on the Life Talk show. And then finally, they also have additional people that they've interviewed. And people like Dr. Alveda King has been on Life Talk, and so many other notable people. The other thing that's good about this Life Talk subscription is that it's a subscription that comes once a month right to your home, a simple little DVD, and it's so reasonable. It's $25 for a whole one-year subscription. I mean, when you think about that, where could you get 12 DVDs for $25?
It's about $2 a DVD.
$2 a DVD, yeah. And it's a great resource. I know people that use this each month for their pro-life meeting. Mm-hmm. I know youth ministers that use it once a month with their youth group, and the young folks love it because it really shows them what's going on, and it encourages them to get involved in the battle and get involved, you know, in the pro-life
movement.
Well,
there's no question, too, that this is not just ordinary pro-life information. You'll find things on Life Talk that you won't hear anywhere else.
That's
because
right.
Life Dynamics and those who are in collaboration with them are right on the front lines, the cutting edge of what is developing within the pro-life movement and in the abortion industry. One
That's
of right. the key strengths of this is that you'll understand better how the other side thinks than you ever have before, because Life Dynamics has done years and years of infiltration into the abortion industry, and we've benefited from a lot of that at our ministry as well. And they have the transcripts of the conferences that the abortionists mm-hmm. themselves have, and the different infiltration gives you an understanding of how they think. And if you know how they think, then you know how to counteract it.
That's right. And they follow these up-to-the-minute news stories. So, for example, people have heard us on these programs refer to George Tilla, that infamous abortionist who does the late-term abortions out in Wichita, Kansas. And we know that there's litigation currently against him. Well, if you want to find out what's going on, Life Talk is the answer. They keep track of these cases. And many times in the program, we'll talk about an abortion clinic has closed. Well, how do they think we get this information? It's Life Talk and Life Dynamics that goes to those places, gives us that footage, and keeps us up to date as what's happening.
Groups can promote this on their website, in their newsletters, to their email lists. Pastors can make it available in their churches. We encourage all of those activities.
Well, again, contact us at Gospel Life, and we'll send them a free sample of Life Talk, absolutely free. If they like it, then they can subscribe. But send for the free sample today.
Friends, thank you for watching Gospel of Life. What we are asking you to do is also support our ministry so that we can bring you these programs, so that our pastoral team can continue to give pro-life talks around the country and training that people so need and look for. Also, GospelOfLife.com, make our website a key website that you go to, and tell your friends about all of these activities. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week. In the meanwhile, let's pray for one another that we may advance a culture of life.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the National Director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.